Revelation 2, verses 8 to 11. Only a short reading. This is John who is writing the words which Jesus tells him to write, and he's writing to the seven churches. And we come to this second letter of John the Apostle as he's instructed by Jesus to write to the seven churches in the Roman province of Asia. And then we have these authoritative open words about Jesus. These are the words of him who is the first and the last, who died and came to life again. Jesus is the eternal one. He is the one who has conquered death and will come to earth again. The message is to this Christian church in Smyrna. It's an uncomfortable message because they are going to suffer and they're going to be persecuted for their faith. So what was the city of Smyrna like? It was prosperous. It was a port situated on the west coast of modern Turkey. It is known today as Izmir, and it's Turkey's second largest city. The city was famous for science. It was famous for medicine, and it was also famous for its beautiful buildings. How many there are still around today of those beautiful buildings, I don't know. Smyrna was also a centre for emperor worship. As you know, being a Roman province, the authority, the reigning authority, were the Romans. And the centre was known for its emperor worship. There was a temple in the city, and it was dedicated to the worship of Roman emperors. And Smyrna took pride in its Caesar cult. Now, there were many Jews who lived in the city who wielded some considerable power, and they opposed the Christians. And the Jews were making false and damaging claims against the church, against the Christian church. The Jewish focus, of course, was against Jesus, who the Jews had rejected. We read in verse 9, says here, "I know your reflection, your affliction, and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan." These were the people who were opposing the people of God. These Jews in Smyrna, although God's chosen people, their slander and their hate for the Christians was so deplorable, Jesus calls them a synagogue of Satan. What an indictment that is. They were God's people in name only. In reality, they were enemies of God and totally opposed to the followers of Jesus. Can you imagine what kind of atmosphere that created then between the Jews and God's people, between the Jews and the Christians? But Jesus says, through John the Apostle, he says, "Do not be afraid of what you're about to suffer." We do not know what the suffering will be, but what we do know, that some of the Christians will be put in prison. And Adrian, if we could have that first graphic, please. Some of these Christians would be put in prison. Doesn't say why, But one of the things that we do know is that very often the Jews would work with others to oppose the Christians so much that they would report them to the authorities. And it's very possible that the Christians would be in prison because the Jews had reported them that they were not following the Roman line. The Bible tells us that Satan is behind this. He said, we read, I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but a synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you. The Bible tells us that Satan is behind this. He, of course, is our enemy. He's the enemy of Christians. The other thing we learn is that the imprisonment is to test the faith of the believers. And also that these Christians in Smyrna will suffer persecution for 10 days. If we could put up the script, please. Thank you. Do not be afraid, even though they are in prison. Jesus says, do not be afraid. It may be that even some of them would lose their lives in this persecution of 10 days. But Jesus says to them, be faithful. This is not what we want to hear about suffering, is it? When my wife found out what the message was this morning, she said, can you make it encouraging? I said, well, it's not my word, actually. I would want to... I think what they did was the other two elders, they thought, now what can we give Sid? And I drew the short straw. You know, and I know, that there are things about the Bible which are not comfortable. And this is one of them. We don't want to hear about suffering. It is an uncomfortable message. But the Bible does make it clear that it is part of our Christian calling. Paul writes to the Philippian church and he says, for it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him. It has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him. And Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 15, if the world hates you, it hated me first. You can remember when Jesus was on earth, can't you? You can remember that those, even though he did amazing things, he brought people back to life, he healed the sick, he was considerate and helpful and loving and forgiving in all kinds of ways. And yet, the Jewish authorities went out of their ways to put him on the cross. If we read it in fiction, we think, no, something wrong here. This is a good man. Who would want to do that to him? And yet, the Jewish authorities hated Jesus. They were jealous of him. The people were flocking to him. And it is not surprising. But what we do find in the world today is that many, many Christians are hated because they are followers of Jesus. And Jesus said, if the world hates you, bear in mind that it hated me first. Also, we Christians may face hardship and ridicule and rejection. because we are followers of Jesus. If we had time this morning, I'm sure we could go around this congregation and there were those who would be able to say there were times in their working life or school or university or whatever where they have found this kind of ridicule, this rejection, not being part of the inner circle because we are Christians and because we are followers of Jesus. Paul, writing to Timothy, says this: in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. What a verse that is. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. We are fortunate in this country as we experience little persecution. But we know that in other parts of the world, there is great suffering heaped upon Christians. And in these last 12 months, we've actually seen the persecution of Christians on our TV screens, actually part of the news. What we don't know is what will happen in future years. Will the church in this country face opposition and hostility? Will the church be put under pressure? We hope not. None of us wants to suffer persecution. But as God's people, we do need to be ready. We need to be strong. We need to avoid complacency. With God's help, we can persevere to the end. With God's help, we can persevere to the end. For all authority and power belong to Him. If somebody had said to me, look, Sid, you've been a Christian for many years, since you were a teenager, you know, how do you keep going? Well, it's not in my own strength that I still trusting Jesus as Savior and Lord. It's because God has helped me. And I'm sure many of you can say exactly the same. It's not by my strength. It's by God's strength and help and guidance that I'm still trusting Him today. Because it's easier, isn't it, to go on the broad path. It's easy to be on the broad path. But Jesus says, I've called you on to a narrow path, to follow me. And it's a narrow but hard path. It's one where we have to hold on to God. Let's consider the church in Smyrna again. They had two main problems. They lived in a city where the Roman emperor was worshipped. They were expected to conform to that form of worship. There would be pressure to do so. Then there were the Jews who were hostile and only too ready to report them to the Roman authorities and create serious problems. But Jesus calls on them to be faithful and to persevere. And he says, and I will give you the crown of life. We see it, we read it here. He says, some of you will be in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. If we could have the next one, please, Adrian. Jesus says, be faithful, and I will give you the crown of life. The same message is for us. If suffering and hardship come our way, Jesus would say, do not be afraid. and also be faithful to the end. We are promised the crown of life. Now, the crown of life, it represents the honour and blessing when we get to heaven. That's our final destination. Three other New Testament writers refer to this crown. James writes, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." And Peter writes, "When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away." I love that. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. So this honour and blessing when we get to heaven, after we've been there for a week, we won't be saying, "It's beginning to wear out, this crown of glory. I'm getting a bit tired of it." It won't be like that. Peter says that it will never fade away. And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, and he says, "You will receive a crown that lasts forever." We can't compare this life with the life that is to come. We cannot compare it. This honour and blessing we will receive in heaven, we cannot comprehend it. It will be beyond our imaginings. It will be beyond our experience. What we can do is we can trust God that it will be truly fantastic. At one time, the word fabulous was used a lot. Do you remember? And then it came from fabulous to fab. It was all those cool people in the 60s and 70s. But it will be fabulous, because God has organized it and he's arranged it for those who love him. It will be beyond our greatest joy. That's what we have to look forward to. And Paul writes and he says, you know, is it worth the struggle? Is it worth the hardship? Is it worth the persecution? Is it worth all of these things? Do you remember he talked about the beatings and the hostility and the ridicule, all of those things which he receives? And he said, of course it will. Because when we get there, it will just be amazing. So we look, brothers and sisters, we look to the future. Because we are in God's hands. We need to hold on to him. Thank you. And all of these things we have to trust God for. One of the things which we were talking to the children this week about was faith. Faith is an easy, small word to say, isn't it? But in terms of holding on to your faith and going forward in faith, that's the real Christian calling. So brothers and sisters, we need to say, is God with us? Of course he's with us. Do we have a heavenly Father who knows all about us? Of course he does. Will he help us? You know the answer. Of course he will. And we go forward with that kind of determination, with that kind of faith. In verse 11, the last verse here, it says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." In other words, we can't afford to ignore these words, these messages to these churches in this province of Asia. And then it says, he who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death. The second death is the death of the soul. All of us will die physically. But Christians, although we die physically, our souls will not die. And in Revelation it talks about that. Our soul will not die because we belong to God. And we will spend eternity with Him. So, let me encourage you to trust God as we go forward. One of the things when we were talking to the children this week, Peter was walking on the Sea of Galilee. And then he loses his... he sees the wind lifting up the waves. He sees feels the wind tugging at his clothes. And what he's done is he's looking at the outward scene. He's not looking at Jesus. So for a moment, his faith fails him. Let us hold on to Jesus. Let's encourage each other as we go forward. Let's work together and encourage each other and hold on to Jesus. For our salvation is great and our future is beyond our imaginings.